He that's righteous shall possess the gate of his enemies. So, do you have any enemies? Is there anybody against you? Is there anything that makes you nervous? Anything makes you afraid? Anything that, troubles you? Obstacle, stuff like that. It can be people, it can be circumstances, health, it can be wealth, it can be anything. Anything that makes you stay awake at night and worry. Anything that makes your stomach quiver. Just an enemy. And God has enemies. Yeah, God has enemies, but you have enemies. So I want to read this all about how to deal with your enemies, because they can make you nervous. They can make you scared. They can make you not sleep. They can make your eyes heavy. They can make your brow furrow. They can do a lot of things to you, and I don't care how smart you are, how Christian you are, they can get to you. They can get to you because your enemies are there. And those enemies hate you. I mean, they want you destroyed. So you got to have a way to combat them. Yeah, and Jesus had enemies. You had to combat his enemies too. And so here's the first one. He that's righteous shall possess the gate of his enemies. So if you're righteous, and we all are, if you're righteous, and we all are, if you're righteous, then here's a promise from God, you'll possess the gate of your enemies. That means he has a little town, and he's, sending out little warriors at you to get you, and you can go and get him. Just get him right out of there. You can break his doors down and take his gates. You can possess, own his gates. Isn't that great? I got enemies. I've got people that make me scared, nervous, bitter, angry, whatever. And I sometimes sit and think about them. How to get even, how to overcome them, how to defend myself, mostly defend myself, from enemies. I mean, even health has a real enemy right there. It's like, you feel yourself getting old. And, your body's been okay, but you just feel like it could fight against you there. And so you got to defeat that too. And then, of course, there's always bills to pay and all kinds of things that are enemies. And but I got real enemies, like people type enemies too, that not necessarily that they hate me, although some do, but more that just they hassle me, constantly. I want them overthrown. I don't want them around. And then instead of praising God, I'm just mad. I was going to praise God, but I got scared or mad or something. And I'm wasting time. I should be happy and excited about enemies, but I'm not. I hate my enemies. I want them all destroyed. Well, that's a waste of time, isn't it? Because it can just keep you busy all the time. Even though you're a Christian, you want to worship God, you're so busy with all your enemies, you forget about God. God, I'll be back to you later. I got all these enemies to fight, and I'm scared, nervous, not sleeping, all this stuff. So you got to be able to overcome enemies. Well, here's one. This one says in Genesis 22, verse 17, that God will give his righteous ones, us, you and me, the gate of his enemies. So you get his gate. That's his gate. Now, I tell you what, that makes me feel happy right there. All of a sudden, I'm not as scared. When I read that verse, that gives me a little bit of confidence. Hey, you know what? How come my enemy's at my gate? I should be taking his gate. And here's a promise right here. The righteous shall possess the gate of their enemies. Here's another one. Genesis 49, 8. The righteous shall stand upon the neck or the necks of his enemies. I like that one too. I like standing on, the neck of the IRS. I like standing on the neck of the, disease. I like standing on the neck of. Sometimes I'll just try to add things up and they don't add up. And I don't like it. I want to reconcile everything so that everything adds up and I'm on top of everything. But sometimes I can't figure something and it just bothers me. Does that bother you? It just bothers me sometimes. Like, why didn't that add up? It'll just trouble me. And I got to get up in the middle of the night and work that out. Well, how come that isn't adding up? How did I do this? And I'll just get up early and 5:30, whatever, I get up that way anyway. But I had to get up and I'm just puzzled over that. Well, why didn't that add up? What's wrong? Why isn't that coming together the way it should? Because I like to have all my world kind of conquered, all, you know what I mean? Everything in its place. And I hate all the thousands of jobs I always have that I'm always behind on. I want to get ahead of it instead of always being behind it. I always imagine, I dream of a day when I'm going to have all my problems solved and I'll just have new ones. Not the accumulation of old ones that I don't even get to the new ones, because sometimes the new ones take over and I don't even have time to do the old ones. Let's get behinder and behinder. Is anybody else like that? So that'll make me stay awake at night. So what else am I going to forget today that I'm supposed to do? Did I send in the 1099s? Did I pay that bill? Did I pay? And it's an enemy. I'll tell you, it's an enemy because I'm supposed to be praising God and having a good time, and I'm not. I'm scared, I'm mad, I'm angry, I'm all kinds of things that have nothing to do with being a Christian. It's almost as though I didn't have a God. It's like I heard about God and I like him on Sunday morning for an hour or so, and then the rest of the time I'm out there duking it out and fighting it, nervous and so on and so forth. Now, for the most part, I've been a pretty happy guy. But I have to confess, there are times when I'm disturbed, stressed, angry, sleepless, worrying. And I'm a Christian. What good does it do me? What good does it do me? Because I don't even think God is there. God, could you kill all my enemies off quick? And he's real slow. He doesn't he never responds like I want him to. God, snap when I say something, I'll get right there. He doesn't do it. He doesn't do it. Have you found that about God? He's slow to anger, but he's also slow to answer. He's just slow. He's just slow. Yes. What is it, Master? Well, I wanted you to do something or other. He just not taking me seriously at all. When he says, call upon me and I'll answer right early, I have no idea what right means. I thought I knew. I thought it meant if I say I need something, you're right there, huh? So I sometimes get nervous. I get nervous. I get worried. I get angry. I get all kinds of things. It's not a Christian. I know that's not Christianity. Next one, Exodus 23, 22. God will be an enemy to my enemy. I like that one. So not only will I possess the gate of my enemies, so that makes me feel good. Not only will I stand on the neck of my enemies, I'll just have my foot right on his neck. Hey there, how you doing? But I don't see it that way. I think I'm under his neck, and he's got my gates. And it sometimes seems like God's my enemy because he's mad at me or disappointed in me or something or other. And I agree with him. I agree. I agree. I have not held up my part of the bargain. Amen? And so I could get nervous, but I remember the scriptures, but sometimes they don't do the trick. Sometimes I remember the scripture, but I still feel scared, still feel angry, still feel nervous. Does that happen to anybody here? You use the scripture, but it seems flat. It's like, pump this up with air. Make this one do something. I was thinking recently, my stomach was feeling kind of nervous about something. I didn't even know what it was, but just something. And I was trying to read some scripture to see if it would go away, but it didn't. It still felt nervous. I could rehearse about 50 scriptures and still felt nervous. It's just like, God, come on, be real here. We're not talking about theology now. We're talking about nerves. Not a big one. Amen. You know what I'm saying? If you can't conquer your nerves, who cares about conquering the world? I just want my nerves. I just want, pay the bill, stop the bad guy. And life seems to be set up in such a way that the bad guys seem to have the advantages and the good guys seem to be, naive idealists or something. It's like God's going to come through, but it seems like the bad guys don't have any God, but they do all right. They seem to be pretty well honed. They do all the wrong things and they seem to get away with it. They're all over television and newspapers and, everywhere you look, the bad guys, they get caught every once in a while, but only a one or two. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? So sometimes I get mad at the whole world. It's just wrong. I want to conquer. I want to just own it, run it, stop it. Don't you ever feel that way? Is you want to change everything? Clean up your neighbor's yard and, get that car off the street or whatever. I just want to redo the whole thing. I look around, what's that there for? That should not be there. Y'all do that? I mean, I just drive up and down the street or wherever I am, and I'm correcting things. That ought to be painted. That shouldn't be leaning like that. And I just can't help it. I just notice all that stuff. And if I were God, if I were the mayor, if I were the governor, if I were the person in charge, I'd correct it. But then I think about my own house. I think, well, what are you correcting? So I like to look at others, but I like to ignore my own stuff. Next verse, Leviticus 26:7. I will chase my enemy, and they shall fall before me. Oh, I like that one. So I got his gates. I possess them. I got my foot on his neck. I've got God to be an enemy to my enemies, and now I'm going to chase my enemy, and he'll fall down. I love it. I mean, I'm feeling better already. This is making me feel better. Next one, Leviticus 26:25. I shall not be delivered into the hands of my enemies. Wow. When you're sick, that's a good one. When you're broke, that's a good one. When you're trying to overcome something and it doesn't seem to be overcome, that's a good one to have right there. I shall not be delivered into the hands of my enemies. 26:34, Leviticus. I shall dwell in the land of my enemies without fear. So you can live in a world full of enemies and not be afraid. I will dwell in the land of my enemies and not be afraid, because I'm righteous. I'm God's beloved. God likes me. So he told me, don't worry about getting away from the enemies. Just dwell right there in the middle of them. How many of you know sometimes you're dwelling in the middle of enemies? This used to be our country. I don't think it is anymore. I think corrupt people run this place. And pastors used to be men of God, and I'm sure there's a lot of them still, but there's a whole bunch that are not. They're just fleshly kind of people. I mean, I'm glad I'm not got a lot of free time to go around and find out most of the ministers aren't in love with Jesus or they fear him, because I'd probably be critical. I don't think I'd have any fellowship. So fortunately, I don't know too many. But from what I know, I'm not very impressed. I don't think they're in love. I don't think they're dead. I don't think they're sold out. I think they're just playing games. And so I'm not critical. I'm just simply saying that's not good. Why are we in a church where there's no Christians? Why don't we have pastors that are Christians? I mean, I think at least a pastor should be a Christian. Now, I wasn't always. I was a pastor for years without being a Christian. And I did a good job, too. Meaning, nobody caught me because nobody else was a Christian either. They couldn't catch me because they were as fake and as phony as I was. But one day I got up and I just said, you know what? I'm a fake and a phony. And I think I need to either quit this job or do it right. So I'm going to hunt for God for a while. And if you all are okay with that, then you can join me. If you're not okay with it, then get out or kick me out, one or the other. And so that was kind of it. And people have never heard that kind of message before. Because I said, basically, I don't believe in God. I mean, I believe in him in theory, but in practice, I'm my own God. Has anybody ever done that? You believed in God, but actually you're your own God. You're just running the show. And, when you're a Christian, you should be at peace all the time, happy all the time, joy all the time, victory all the time, run through a troop and leap over. You should be powerful. That shouldn't just be a song on Sunday morning. That should be your life. Amen? So you're not troubled like other men. You're not fearing what they fear. I find myself a lot of times just like other men. I find myself just as bitter as they are, and as angry as they are, and fearful as they are, and troubled as they are, depressed as they are. I don't find that I'm a Christian sometimes. You ever found that you're a Christian, but you're not really a Christian? I mean, you're a Christian in theory, but sometimes you're not much of a joyous, powerful, miracle-working, obedient Christian. Amen? So that can't be right. Because look here, it says, you possess the gates of your enemy. You stand on their necks. It says God will be an enemy to your enemies. He'll chase them away. It says you'll run, and they'll run away, and then they'll fall down. That's the kind of God I want. That's the kind of Christian walk I want to live all the time. I've lived it sometimes, but I notice I don't live it all the time. So I'm just suspicious that one or two of you might be the same. Was I even close? Did I even get close? That, you know, there might be a little bit of fear in you, a little bit of anger in you, a little bit of upsetness in you, and so on and so forth. So I thought this would be good encouragement today. 26:25, I shall not be delivered into the hands of my enemies. I like that not. I shall not be delivered, because sometimes it looks like I am. So I'm glad to hear that. 34, I shall dwell in the land of my enemies without fear. Then 37, Leviticus 26:37, I shall have power to stand before my enemies. Boy, I like that one. You know, the doctor says, you know, you're in really bad shape. And I like to have power at that moment. I like to have a little power right in that moment. Yeah, I'm in good shape. I'll be okay. I got a God. But instead, I hear the doctor and I say, oh, yeah. And so, you know, we have a man in the hospital, Debbie Carter's husband. Whatever his name is. Justin something or other is in the thing, and then they give him a bad thing. I mean, he's got leukemia or something, and he's, you know, but he's had that all his life. He's had one problem after another, and now it's going to kind of catch up with him. So the bad news from the doctors is you're in serious trouble. But, you know, that I don't want to hear a thing like that. I like to have power over that. And he's been getting close to the Lord. So that's good. Real close. It's like, uh-oh. You know, I mean, at first it seemed like it was just going to be, you know, going to the hospital and get your stomach fixed up or something. And now it's like, this could be serious. So anytime death is a possibility, it's kind of serious. And so he's scared, and if I were him, I'd want to hear that I could possess the gates of my enemies, that I could, you know, stand on their necks, that I could have power in the presence of my enemies, that I could run and they'd run away and fall down, and that's what I want to hear. I want to hear something powerful. Numbers 10:35. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. That's the same as Psalm 68:1. Let God arise. That's what I want. God, get up. Wake up. What are you doing? Is he taking a nap? Do you see what happened to me right there? Get going. That's the way I talk to God. It's not very pious, but that's the way I talk to God. I just talk like I'm talking to you. I just talk normal. I don't like to have a phony religion voice, thought. I like to be real. God, really, now this is me talking here. Just get up. I know in theology that's wrong, but I don't speak theologically. I just speak the way I feel. I just talk the way I feel. He knows. He translates my stuff. God, don't pay attention to my emotionalism. Just get to the point. I'm making a point here, and you get past my emotions, okay? Do y'all understand? I mean, he takes into consideration. It's Jim. You know, he takes into consideration that I'm a little bit emotionally upset. You know, and so I go, let God arise. Get up, rise. Rise and shine. My enemies are not scattered, they're gathered. And they're right here. They're here. Help! You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, have you ever noticed that trouble often comes in groups instead of, you know, like just one? That used to be the thief would just be kind of all alone, knock you down, take your stuff. It still happens. But now, people are so bold, they'll just do it in broad daylight. Three or four people just come up and knock you down, take your person, so on and so forth. And it's all over the world. Tel Aviv, you know, Rio de Janeiro. I don't care where you go now. Gangs of young thugs. Just, you know, I don't care where you travel today, they're all over. They're in London. They're you know, in Mexico City. They're in, you know, probably in Dallas. You know, wherever you go. And they just walk right up to you and just take your stuff. They're desperate. Because they want dope or you know, money or whatever they want. And it'll just be for a couple bucks. They don't care. So you got to be careful these days. A couple of families from the Dallas church went to Rio 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And, you know, about six young people came up to their whole group of four or five and just took out their knives and were going to stab them and knocked them on the ground and so on and so forth. And then they gave him something, and then they took off. But if you don't give them anything, they kill you. I mean, it happens all the time. It's not at all rare. And just if you're a tourist, they go to the finest restaurants. They just walk into a restaurant and just knife you right there. Take your stuff, and if you don't give it, they kill you. That's all. And this is anywhere. I don't care where you go. You can hear these stories anywhere. Y'all aware of that? So when you travel, you got to be very careful. They just come into. They don't go into the poor places like they used to. They go into the rich places now. Finest restaurants. Just walk in, and nobody can stop them. They're vicious. And they don't care. They have nothing anyway. They're just poor, so they don't care. They don't care if you throw them in jail. Good. It's an advantage to them. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. You better have a real God in this real world. Until I shall have driven out all my enemies, Numbers 32:21. Numbers 32:21, until I shall have driven out all my enemies. I want all my enemies gone. Nick, I don't want any enemies. I hate this world full of bad people. Of course, I'm one of them, so I got to take care of myself first. But once I get myself taken care of, then I want to take care of all the other bad guys. Amen? I know mine will only take about an hour or so. Other people are more stubborn than me. Thank God I'm not stubborn. I'm not unteachable at all. Deuteronomy 12:10. I shall have rest from all my enemies round about. That's what I'd like. I would like to have rest. I would like, in this world, full of all kinds of things, I'd just like to have rest. I'd just like to be at peace. That's all. I'm not asking for much. I just want to have total rest when I'm on the highway, when I'm out shopping, you know, when I'm wherever I am. I want to have total rest. I don't want people harassing me and coming at me and constantly. And the more I live, it just seems like these are really tough days. When I was a kid, life was, we didn't have as much money probably, but it was simple. You know, you didn't have locks on your doors and I don't know. Today, it just seems like everything is much more evil. And the government's totally out of control. Totally out of control. I mean, I can't stand any of them. They're all liars. I mean, there's probably two or three that aren't. But for the most part, I mean, they're just worthless. What's the point of being a government if you aren't going to stop our enemies? I'm going to say that again. What's the point of having a government if it doesn't stop your enemies? That's the only point for an army or a police force or a government or anything is to stop your enemies. Not to make you the enemy and leave the enemy go free. The only point of having a government, of having somebody have a gun or a sword or something, is to stop the bad guys and protect the good guys. That's it. That's it. There isn't anything else to it. Y'all understand? I mean, that's it. So the whole point of being a king is kill off the enemy. That's it. We didn't hire him to get rich or make deals with businessmen or whatever. We just hired him to not be a thug, but to help kill off the thugs. And they're just elected by the thugs these days. The thugs elect them. And these corporations are too powerful. I hate all corporations, all of them. Just all of them. I just hate them because they're too powerful. And they're totally irresponsible. To be a corporation means to have no responsibility. And so they just force the government to give them everything. They make state governments, local governments, federal governments. They just make them all, you know, Halliburton, all these big Monsanto or whatever all their names are. They get too much. I don't like them. And the people that are in there are just, you know, oblivious to what's going on. Even the heads of these things don't even know what's going on. You know, it's too big. It's too corrupt. It's like the government itself. It's too big. The IRS, who's ever audited the IRS? Billions and billions of dollars. They don't even know where they are. They don't even know where they are. Here they're handling all our money. They can't even handle their own money. They've lost billions. I mean, and no one will ever audit them. So the whole thing is corrupt to the gills. And every, you know, congressman, now we're going to have all these presidents screaming out with all their lousy lives and lousy lies and so on and so forth. Don't you get mad? I do. I get mad. I get irked. I want to overthrow them all. So God, here God just said, I'm gonna overcome all your enemies. Well, get going. I mean, yes, that is a good word, but when, where, how? You know, you want me to do it for you? I mean, you're going to do it? Okay, do it. So I call upon God, because otherwise, why should I be good if everybody's wicked? What good is it going to do me? If everybody's wicked out there and I'm trying to be good, decent, and they're all beating the tar out of me, that's no fun. So I think I'll be wicked. Well, I'm not going to do it, but I'm just saying that's the thought you have, isn't it? And everybody's getting away with murder. You know, I used to be a thief and a liar and so on and so forth. I know how to be one. And, you know, now I'm a Christian. It isn't as nice as I thought it was going to be. It's kind of like everything will be peaceful and wonderful. And now that I'm adding my goodness to everybody else's goodness, I find out it's pretty thin. The bulk of Americans today are not holy anymore. Yeah. Now, look at the scripture here. I will have rest from all my enemies. God will fight for me against my enemies. Deuteronomy 24. God will fight for me. Woohoo! Do it, God. 24. God will fight for me against my enemies. I like that. But I don't want this to be a promise. I want this to be a reality. Get going. And I'm contributing. God, work with me. So it may be that he sees a flaw in me and that's why he's not doing it. I don't know. That's always possible. Deuteronomy 20:14. I will eat the spoil of mine enemies. Hey, that is a good one. These are I'm taking these literally. I mean, I'm not just reading them for fun. I mean, I'm living by these words. I will eat the spoil of my enemies. The people that are against me, I'm going to eat their spoil. This is making me strong. I'm beginning to think, well, yeah, that's right. That would be good. I would like to eat the spoil. You know what spoil is. It's not something spoiled. Spoil means all the goodies that they took from you and stole from you and robbed from the American people and so on and so forth. I'm going to enjoy that. I'm going to take it from them and enjoy it myself. Because I don't like that the people have taken everybody's stuff. You know, nothing happens, you know, these days. Nothing happens. It's wrong. You know, it used to be if somebody stole something from you, the bad guys get caught and they'd have to give it back to you. Now it goes to the state or something. It doesn't even go to you. You don't even get anything. You know, we had a car and it was all banged up by some kids and so on and so forth. And we told the police and they said, well, we're not going to probably do anything about it. And we even found where they were. These are the kids. Here's the car. And they still wouldn't do anything. So, well, you know, we just let them go. It's like, they don't even care. It's just thousands of dollars down the drain. I'll let the insurance pay for it and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's awful that things are such a point. What's the point? What's the point? You know, it's just without wearing your seatbelt or something, and the criminal goes free. I don't like it. I don't like it. I got enemies everywhere. I don't like it. I don't want to accept that. Now, I can accept it if that's the way it is. That's the way it is. But I don't want to. So I'm going to still do my part. I'm hoping you're all the same as I am. I'm going to still, you know, do the right thing, and I'm not going to do the wrong thing. I'm not into that. I believe that there is a God, and I think he'll fight for me against my enemies, and I'll eat the spoil of my enemies. Deuteronomy 28:31, my sheep shall not be given into the hands of my enemies. There, that's something I like, is something little like a sheep. It's not going to be given to the hands of my enemies, because I think the enemies are eating all my sheep up. They're taking them. I don't have any sheep left. You know, they're taking them. I get a sheep, and they took it. So I don't like that. I want to have all my sheep. I want all the sheep that God gave me coming to me. I don't like it that, you know, people are just taking advantage of everything. I mean, I used to be like that, but I'm not like that anymore. I don't believe in that now. Verse 28, chapter 28, Deuteronomy 48, neither will I serve my enemies. I'm not going to serve my enemies. I'm not going to fall down and worship them. I'm not going to follow them. 28:48, neither will I serve my enemies. Now, you're reading and you're trying to follow along, but you'll often see I reverse it. You'll often see I reverse it. It might say because you've sinned, you're going to serve your enemies. But so then the opposite is true. If you don't sin, you don't serve your enemies. I'm not interested in the sin part. I'm interested in the not sin part. Is, in other words, if you don't sin, then, you know, you're not going to serve your enemies. Well, I'm a righteous person. By faith, I'm righteous and starting to grow in the Holy Spirit and so on. Oh, I want my enemies to not make me serve them. God, did you hear me? So, I'm sure I'm not perfect or anything, but still, I want to get with this program that God has, and I don't want to just let the world go to the hell in a handbasket. I want to change things. 28:68, 20 verses later, Deuteronomy 28:68, nor shall I be sold to my enemies. In other words, God, even though I've sinned, don't sell me to my enemies. Forgive me, and then help me, grow me up, teach me, instruct me, and I'll walk in your way, right? Isn't this your prayer? Is it, okay, maybe I've sinned, but you know, don't sell me to the enemy. You know, give me a chance here, sorry, and then help me. Give me the Holy Spirit. Give me some more Holy Spirit. More Holy Spirit. More, I need more Holy Spirit. How many need some more Holy Spirit? You need to have a lot of Holy Spirit. Because otherwise you will get afraid. I do. You will get angry. I do. You will be, you know, whatever, sleepless and so on. I don't want to live that way. I want to live not only in heaven, I want to live here. Deuteronomy 33:29, my enemies shall be found liars. Boy, that's a good promise right there. My enemies, in other words, those that oppose me, they're going to be found to be liars. Isn't that great? I like that. Now, again, it's whether it's a medical condition or whether it's a politician or whether it's some task that's difficult. Let it be discovered that your enemies, who are persons, that your enemies are found to be liars. And that's not true. You know, it's not true what that doctor said. He doesn't know. He's just given a shot at it. He doesn't know for sure. He can't say for sure. So let them be found liars. A lot of times they're wrong. Here's another one. Joshua 7:8. I will never turn my back to my enemy. Oh, that's a good one right there. Because many times I have turned my back. I've run away. God, they're going to get me. They're out to get me. Amen. Have you ever been like that? I mean, that's why I came to Texas. Do you know I came to Texas? Because I was running away from New York. So my enemies were there trying to get me. They were physically going to beat me up and do all kinds of things and so on and so forth. So I'm going somewhere else. So I'm no fool. I'll run to a safe place, Texas. So here I am. I came here to get away. You know, and I had to admit I'm a weakling. I mean, I was kind of strong. In fact, I was extremely arrogant. That's why they were trying to beat the tar out of me to put a little humility in me. But it worked. Then I got scared, you know, because anyway, the point is that that's how I got here. I will never turn my back to my enemy. I'm not running any longer. Judges 2:14. God will not sell me into the hands of my enemies. That was like up above. Judges 5:31. Let all my enemies perish. God will deliver me. Whew, I like that one. All my enemies perish. Now, I know they are going to someday in heaven, but I want them to perish now. I want to have a little down payment. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect, but kind of like, see it, to see the numbers, you know, increasing where all my enemies, at least some of my enemies, you know, start to perish. Because it seems like they're getting worse and worse. You all notice that? Things don't seem to be getting better. Have you noticed that? And you and I are here. It should be getting better. We're the good people. You know, why isn't Texas getting better rather than just more corrupt? I mean, every stupid thing they do, it seems to be getting worse. I don't like it. There's almost nothing that's going my way. It's all taking away my liberty and, you know, letting the bad guy go free and freer. The aliens and the whatever, the Mexican aliens or whatever they are. It's just like they can just take advantage of everything, and I'm the one paying the bill, and I'm getting less and they're getting more. And criminals and perverts and sex offenders and pedophiles, they're all doing fine. They even now have groups. They get their legislation passed. I mean, I just can't believe how crazy, how surreal our whole way of life is. The liberals, I mean, I want them all gone. All gone. Perish. Now, I don't care if they convert and become Christians. But I just don't want them to stay like that. They're atheists, communists, socialists, you know, Marxists, something or other. Whatever they are, I don't like them. So, there you have it. And I'm tired of just sitting by and saying nothing. I'm going to start to yell and scream. Hello. But I'll start with God. First, I'm going to yell at God for a while. get that off my chest, and then I'll go and yell at others. But I don't want to just put up with it. Now you say, well, maybe God wants it so he can, put the Antichrist up and then come back. Well, that's fine, but he didn't tell me that, so I'm not going to do it until he does. You know, so I'm still going to believe until the day he comes in righteousness. I mean, the day he tells me, okay, this is the Antichrist, and you just got to hide and, get under your bed. Okay, fine. You know, try to endure for 3.5 years under there. Okay, I'll take that. But, until he says that, and I'm not going to do it just because somebody says this and that and so on. I'm going to keep fighting as though this was my country, as though this was, I'm to bless it, as though we were to live a godly life and the churches are free. Maybe we'll have to go underground someday, but right now we're above ground. Hello? Seen a lot of places, I mean, they get killed and whatnot for being Christians. Okay, that's fine. Well, in this country it may happen, but, so far it hadn't happened, so I'm not gonna think about that. I just want to fight for all I got right here, because if America goes, the whole world's going to go. So I don't want to lay down and let the wicked kind of triumph and just, let's just pray. What does that mean? Let's just pray. What's that mean? Pray some kind of insipid prayer. What's that mean? The prayer of a righteous ought to have great power in its effect. And so I haven't gotten really angry yet, but I'm getting there. I'm practicing my anger. I'm going to explode one of these days on all the compromisers and halfway people and so on. And just, it's okay, it's okay. No, it's not okay. I don't accept it. I don't like it. I'm not living that way, so I don't like your compromise and your, put up with everything. Y'all hearing me? So the anger is rising. There is such a thing as righteous anger. I'm not sure mine is yet, but it's at least anger. It's in the category of anger. I'll have to clean it up a little bit. Let all my enemies perish. God will deliver me. 1 Samuel 18:29. I love this one. Saul became David's enemy continually. Isn't that interesting? Now think about it. Forget Saul and David. Saul represents legalism. So legalism is always continually your enemy. I don't care who it is. In this case, it's King Saul. He's David's enemy. Now, David is a man of God, but King Saul is also called a man of God. But he's not a man of God. He's just a church-going kind of a guy, and he's a hypocrite. He really wants power. He doesn't want God's will. He just wants power, and he wants his boy to be the king, and he doesn't want David to be the king, and he didn't ask God. God said, I want David to be king. And King Saul doesn't want David to be king. He wants his boy Jonathan to be king. But Jonathan likes King David. And King David likes Jonathan. So they've made a deal, but the dad won't accept it. So the whole thing is, Saul became David's enemy continually. In other words, he didn't like the fact that the people were saying, David has killed 10,000, Saul's only killed 1,000. He didn't like that. So he wanted to have he wanted to be great. Because he was tall. Remember that? Remember how tall Saul was? Nobody knows how tall he was, but he wasn't 9 foot or 10 foot, because that's how big Goliath was. So he wasn't that big. And it said David was short. He was a short guy. So I bet he was only, 5 foot something. I think Saul was probably 6 foot something. We don't know. We weren't told. But he can't be too big, because he couldn't even fight Goliath. So David was just a ruddy youth. That means a red-faced, youth, and he's probably a cute little guy, but everybody underestimated him. I mean, that you can underestimate people. See, it isn't the size of your brains or your stature; it's the size of your God. David was smaller than Saul, but he had a big God. And Goliath was bigger than both of them. Probably stacked up on top of each other. But it didn't make any difference. His God was teeny-weeny. He had a little bitty God. You see? So big people with a little God are not as strong as the little people with a big God. Y'all believe that? Okay, well, these scriptures should encourage you. Saul became David's enemy continually. 1 Samuel 24:4. The Lord will deliver my enemy into my hand. You remember when Saul came into the cave? He was right there, and David could kill him. Remember that? He's right there. Ha! And his guy said, God has delivered him into your hand. Kill him. And David said, well, I have to check with God on that one. I have to check with God. He said, no, he said, don't kill him. What? He said, don't kill him. You're just going to let him sit there? God brought him here. He said, will of God, kill him. You want us to do it? No. Just let him go. Isn't that amazing? What if I had all the power? What if suddenly all my enemies were down? What if I were on top? Would I be merciful? Would I be a better ruler than they are? Would I be any better if suddenly I was all powerful? Well, David knew he wasn't yet the king, but still he knew I could kill the guy right now. He didn't do it. He checked with the big guy. God, what do you think on this one? No, he's my anointed. Let him go. What? Well, he's bad. He's getting in the way. He's not pure like me. Let him go. I'll take care of him. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Well, couldn't I do a little bit of it? How many like to help God out sometimes with a little vengeance? I would. I think, you know, Lord, I know how to be vengeful. You're not being vengeful quick enough. Sometimes I don't wait for God. I don't know how you are, but sometimes I don't wait for God. I just take it in matters in my own hands. I just feel like I'm clever and I'm right on top of it, and I could handle this situation, and I just do. But it is good to wait for God. It's not good to just run out and get angry or say stuff or do stuff. You have to really wait on God. Sometimes I don't, though. Sometimes I don't. I just fall back into my old mode. You all have a prior mode, you know, a former way of doing things where just anger just rises up or whatever. And just say, hey, you can't do that. Who do you think you are? You know, you're just right there all over it, and you're going to handle a situation. Have you ever done that? I do. I still have. I keep practice on that. Just I don't want to lose my old system. And I, on a daily basis, I can get angry quickly. I can quickly get angry. You're past that now. You're not past it either? Oh my gosh. Well, you should be by your age. I hope I'll be there when I get your age. I hope I'll be past that. I probably won't either. But at least we're learning. It's not as bad as it used to be, right? So we get angry less and we are independent less. But it seems like we're slow learners. And that's my fault. All right. The Lord will deliver my enemy into my hand. Now, 2 Samuel, I love this one. 19:9. The king shall save us from our enemies. You see, the purpose and the only purpose of government is to save us from our enemies. Isn't that interesting? So simple. So simple. There's one purpose of government. Save us from our enemies. Isn't that interesting? Is that our government doing it now? Or are they actually enhancing our enemies? Are they actually keeping us less safe and less happy? Well, yeah, they've become our enemies. And so, you know, this one says, you can tell when you have God's king, otherwise he's just a human. You can tell when you have God's king, someone filling God's office of king, deliver you from your enemies. In other words, if somebody oppressing you, he'll take them out. Well, that's a true policeman. That's a true soldier. That's a true governor. Did y'all hear what I just said? So, what's the purpose of a king? What's the purpose of government? What's the purpose of someone who executes the law? Is someone who will protect you from your enemies and deliver you. That's it. That's all there's to it. Total simple. Protect the good guy, beat up the bad guy. Punish the bad guy. Now, of course, there's due process of law. But the point is, punish him. Stop him. Handcuff him. Arrest him. Don't let him keep going. Isn't that a good father? Isn't that a good father in a household? Don't let the enemy come in. Stop the enemy. Stop the enemy. So that's all. God's like that. I like that verse. Psalm 13:2. How long shall my enemy be exalted? Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. Do you realize there are some people today that are ruling, they're exalted, and they're not worthy? How long shall my enemy be exalted, God? And God's answer is usually something like this: whenever you're humble. Oh, so it's not his exalting that's the problem. It's my humble lack of it. That's the problem. Do you realize that God wants your humility? And the founders of our country and the founders of the Alamo and all this kind of stuff, they were people that humbled themselves. They realized, you know what? We got to repent of our own sins here. The enemy is just going to conquer us. We're going to become slaves. We better get right with God. And I still believe in that. I don't believe that's like a myth or kind of like a nice story that we tell about the Alamo or about the founding fathers of America. I really believe they really took that seriously. I believe they felt like, hey, let's not beat England because we're tougher. We're not. They're going to conquer us for sure, and we're all going to lose our lives and our homes and our everything unless we get right with God. And I think it's still the issue today. I think America today is not even close to getting right with God. All these big churches and it's just corruption. You know, how many ministers do we have to watch have affairs with women, have, you know, big bank accounts and big homes and, you know, big buildings and big everything? I don't think it's right. I don't agree with that. I agree with my kind of little church here. This is the kind of church to have, one where you can't be proud. You can't be proud of the building or the bowling alley or the stained glass window or whatever. The only thing you have is the people. That's the whole point, isn't it? Is to set the people free. So I like our church. It's puny, but I like it. I like it because it's real. It's real. So I don't want all that big stuff. Somebody said, well, I'll give you, you know, Christ Church over here or McKinney or whatever. I don't want them. I don't want them. I don't want it. It's all fakery and stuff. I don't want that. Well, we have 5,000 members or 2,000 members. I don't want that. I like ours. 46 members. That's what I like. And then a few of them are leaving. You know, I don't care. You know, I like what I like. I don't have any ambition to be great. I don't even imagine it. It's not even in my head. I'm not afraid of it, but I'm not really looking forward to that. I could do that if I wanted to. There are ways right now, if I wanted to expand, relocate for one thing. You know, it'd be easy. You just go into Keller, you just go into one of the outlying districts here where there's a lot of growth, move in, you know, a few hundred yards from the growth area toward town, that's how you grow. You could have a church of 5,000 just like that. It's easy. I could do it. I could go to every town. I could pick six towns, and each night of the week I could go and hire a motel or a hotel and give some teachings. So I'm pretty sure I'd have hundreds of members in each one of them, put them all together and get thousands of members. It's nothing. It's easy. Bring in a nice band, one that, you know, whatever. I don't want that. I like ours. I like just what we have. Do you hear? I like being under the radar. No one is even bothering to, you know, destroy us or tear us down because we're not that neat. That's the kind I like. I don't want to be a big showy church that everybody comes to and is fake and phony. Better to be real. Do y'all understand? The Lord is letting the enemy be exalted, and we ask the question, God, how long shall the enemy be exalted? How long are you going to let him get away with this? Well, how long did I let you get away with it? Yeah, quite a while. I see. You know, God was really gracious to me. He did not get me just because I was wrong. He was very tender with me. So I got to be that way too. I got to be patient. Because the Lord was always patient with me. I was not your best pastor. In fact, I always thought of myself as the worst pastor ever in the history of the world. I did. I knew there were some real scoundrels out there. But I always felt like I didn't look like a scoundrel, but I actually was. And I definitely didn't know God. I felt even the scoundrel probably had some good qualities that nobody knew about. And that I lacked. I mean, literally, I always felt I was a cheat, a liar, a deceiver of some sort. I always felt I got into this in the wrong way. I didn't have, you know, whatever you're supposed to have. But, praise God, God saved me anyway. And now I'm happy. I'm completely happy. And I like my job, and I like what I'm doing. But I was not like, you know, thinking this is what I wanted to do when I grew up. Now that I'm grown up, it is what I want to do. All right, how long shall my enemy be exalted? Psalm 25, 19, consider my enemy, for they are many. Did you ever notice that? You have a lot of enemies. I mean, they're everywhere. There's something to make you nervous, something to make you angry, something to make you sleepless, something to make you worry, something to take away your joy. They're everywhere. I mean, they're everywhere. Lord, consider my enemy, for they are many. I like that. You just got to tell God, okay, you wrote it in your Bible here. You know that's the case. I got a lot of enemies, and you said you'd perish them all. You said you'd conquer them all. You said you'd let me put my foot on their necks. You said, you know, and so on. Is that all heaven, or how about a little bit down here? We have to wait. How long do we have to wait? How long will my enemy be exalted? You know, so I'm taking some of these verses as though they applied to here. I don't want them to be forever. I don't want to get them all in heaven. I mean, how many know there's going to be no enemy in heaven? So what good is it up there? I mean, that's silly. Well, pie in the sky by and by. Well, I want some pie now. I like at least a little piece of pie. You don't have to have whipped cream on it, but just the pie. A little pie. How many know God loves you? 42:9. Psalm 42:9. My enemy seeks to oppress me. That means enslave me. But I am God's beloved. My enemy seeks to oppress me. Psalm 86. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Hey, that's true. The enemies are laughing among themselves like we really pulled it over on them. You know? I mean, there are people that actually sit and laugh and go, you know, who do you think you are? What do you think you're going to do? You're not going to do anything. Just calm down. Just be quiet. Just stay in your spot. No. But our enemies are laughing among themselves. That's what the Bible says. And I believe it. I believe this is literally true. Psalm 89:22. Let not my enemies exact upon me. You know what that means? Tax. An exaction is a levy. Let not my enemies raise my taxes. That's what it's saying. Let not my enemies exact upon me. I don't know. That's scriptural. That's good. I'm putting that up. I'm going to put that on the fridge. That is a good one right there. Next time I send in my IRS thing, I'll put that down. Let my enemies not exact upon me. You know why? Because there's no need for all this wealth. You know, if there weren't for the welfare program, which is totally unconstitutional, there's nothing in the Constitution that ever says that God guarantees anyone happiness. God does not guarantee happiness. The pursuit, but not happiness. Our government, being a welfare thing, is trying to help every little poor girl and every person and so on. It looks like it's kind and so on. It's just going to break us all. Giving medicine to everybody and giving away the whole thing. That's just communism and socialism. It's not God. So we're going to go broke in the midst of plenty. And all of a sudden we're bankrupt because the Mexicans see the deal and they're coming in too. And our own, you know, people see it. And why should I work? I've met many people out here out in the street. And I go, hey, why don't you work? Get a job. And they go, why should I? The government, it doesn't pay for me to do it because the government will give me more than I can get if I go to work. And they've figured out the system. They've figured the system out. That's wrong. This is just, it's helping women then to have more babies and so on because they get more money. This stinks. This whole system stinks. It's not for my happiness. It's not for anybody's happiness. It's not for anybody's good. Does that help that young girl? No. It just sustains her in her prostitution. It sustains her in her beggary. It doesn't actually make for happier people. Did they get any happiness? I think not. Now, I'm not saying we should be cruel. I'm just saying government should not be in the happiness business. Only God brings happiness. So that's why they exact upon us. That's why they tax us and levy us for all the garbagey things that they're up to. And every one of them, I'm opposed to it. Am I clear? Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm mad. I don't want to be exacted upon anymore. I don't want to give away 6%, 7%, 8%, 9%. I don't want to give away anything. I don't want to. God said in the Old Testament that it was sinful that the king would take 10% Our kings take more than 10%. And God thought that was sinful. 10% was sinful because that's his tithe. And he thought it was wrong for any human government to get more than he gets. Now we're taking 30, 40, 50, 60, 70%. That's sick. I don't care how good the deal is. It's sick. We can't bear that. It's just redistribution of wealth. It's communism, socialism. It's not in the Bible. This is in the Bible right here. Our enemies, where are we here? Yeah. Let not my enemy exact upon me. Psalm 89:22. I like that. Let him not exact upon me. You know, I was like, how much can I collect? I'm giving tolls, and if price of gas is now astronomical and so on. You know those guys are liars. You know, they're just, all they're doing is using us, using the public stupidity and our corrupt officials. They bribe them and so on and so forth. So, yeah, sure, do what you want. You know, buy more rigs, you know, do more things and so on. There's gas underneath this church. You think we're going to get anything? No, some other person. Maybe it's all right underneath the church. Wouldn't surprise me at all. It's all right here. They're going to suck it with their little straws downtown. It's about a mile from here. Somewhere downtown there's a well or whatever they call it. And then it goes horizontal and sucks right in. I've seen the line. It goes right, I forget if it's on this side of the church. I think it's on this side of the church over here. It's going right by us. So they're going to suck all of our stuff out too. Well, we could have gotten all that. It's mine. It's ours. Let's get it. Let's, everybody bring a straw. We'll push it down. So, you know, and you know, from 1 mile from our house, right? Nick, have you seen it? There's a rig. And you go a mile in the other direction up toward the Northeast Mall, there's another rig. There are rigs everywhere. You can look just a mile or two in any direction, and you see rigs everywhere. They're sucking all the gas, and it isn't you and I. We're not getting anything. They'll give you a nickel or something. They're not going to give you anything. They won't even tell you the truth. They'll raise the price. And we're sitting on, you know, beaucoups of wealth, and we're treated like slaves in our own land. It's wrong. It's evil. What kind of a government do we have? It's overthrown. Let not my enemy exact upon me. Why? Because I want to use it for the kingdom of God. I would like to give for missions. Why should I? You know, I don't need any more stuff. But, you know, I don't want to give it to the government to buy a $100 or $500 hammer. This is stupid stuff. It's evil. It's all evil. And anyway, my point is, I'm not mad at people. I'm just simply saying it's not what God wants. It's not the will of God. So here it says, 89:22. Let not my enemy exact upon me. And that's my prayer right there. Psalm 110:1. I like this one. God will make his enemies his footstool. There you go. That's where I want to see all those folks. I want to see them all as my footstool. Get under my foot right there. I want to lean right on their neck. You know. And when they squeal and squawk, I'm just going to jump up and get up. Amen. Did you know you can do that when you conquer? We're the people. We're the people. You know, see, why should somebody else be greater than I am? Well, I'm a people. I was born. Why is someone more valuable than someone else? We're all equal. I don't believe in aristocracy. I believe in total equality. In other words, I don't mean equality of money. I'm talking about equality of value. We're all equal in value. But we're not treated with dignity. We're not treated that way. That's just nonsense. I don't believe all that liberal nonsense. Psalm 110:2. I will rule in the midst of my enemies. Yeah, that's what I want to see. I don't want to see him do it up in heaven. There's no enemies up there. I want to see him do it right down here. I will rule in the midst, in the middle. Here we are. Let's rule right in the middle of our enemies. Wouldn't that be fun? That's what America did in the first place. That's what Texas did. Texas ruled right in the middle of all her enemies. America said, you know, all these big nations, France and Spain and England and whatnot, they run the whole world. Let's America just be a little bitty nothing in the middle of them all. Make our own way. Little people, ordinary people. No king telling us what to do. No big shot telling us what to do. No, you and I governing ourselves under God.
Well, our people have gotten too ordinary.
Too ordinary? Well, there's nothing wrong with ordinary.
Well, they're not doing what they ought to be doing.
Well, that has nothing to do with ordinary. It's just we should be ruling ourselves under God. Under God. So I don't want the godless to be ruling. I will rule in the midst of my enemies. Looks like they're ruling over me. 119:98, Psalm 119:98. You have made me wiser than my enemies. Yoo-hoo! There you go. See, my enemies are not as smart as I am. I'm wiser. You're wiser. Do you all believe that? Do you believe we're wiser? Because why? What's wise about us? Well, we're not very wise. What's wise about us is we know to go to him that is. Go to God. God! See, that's wise right there. God, I'm telling you, there's some problems down here. You can't see from where you are. But I'm looking at him right here. See, God can't see everything, so I have to help him. God, did you see this right here? You can't see it? Oh, I'm telling you. So I point out problems. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Of course God can see everything. But he wants you to point it out so he can say, well, where, Jim? Over here. Right here. Here's the problem right here. Okay, good boy. Good boy. And then he'll solve it. But he wants us to tell him what the problems are. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will answer you. Right? I will rule in the midst of mine enemies. When have we seen that? See, that was years ago, and it's in the storybooks, but it's not reality anymore. Now our enemies are ruling in the midst of us. That is funny. It's the opposite. The enemies are now ruling in our midst. Our enemies, Al-Qaeda, you know, aliens, all kinds of people ruling in our midst, corrupt people, Europeans, all those people that hate our guts, they're now ruling. They own America. I don't like it. And the churches, the liberals are now taking over the churches, and the Satanists and the perverts taking over the churches. Amen? So let's throw a revolution. Why should we put up with that? Here's the scripture right here. God! What's the scripture mean right here? Is it just for kicks? Is it just for fun? Do you mean this right here? I think he means it. Y'all having as much fun as I am? I like to use these scriptures and take them literally. I don't believe in taking them spiritually. No, oh, well, someday in heaven. No, it's right here. I don't know even about someday. Someday's too far away. I'm like a little kid. I want to go to the zoo now. Next week, sweetheart. When is next week? You know, I mean, to a little kid, there is no next week. It's just now. Let's go now. Well, sweetheart, that's going to be next week. Well, when is that? Well, it's 7 days from now. Well, how long is that? You know, are we almost there? Just another 200 miles. Well, are we there now? No, 200 miles. Well, when is that? Count to 4,000. You know, little kid doesn't get it. He can't think like that. You see, I can't think like that either. I think if he writes a scripture down, he wrote it for a reason. I don't think he wrote it to tell us what it's like in heaven. I think he wrote it to tell us what it was like on earth. In other words, I'm not applying this Bible to your family. I'm applying it to my own. I'm not applying it to some other nation. I'm applying it to my own. I'm applying it to my own life. If it doesn't work for my life, what good is it? Why would I read a book that applies to somebody else? This is your love letter, and God wants heaven on earth for you. And I found some. I'm going to keep going. It's so good. I want India to know about it, and China, and Africa. I want everybody to know about it. Woohoo! Isn't that amazing? Come on. God has given us all the wealth, and don't say the enemy's too big. It's not too big. Take his gates. Step on his head. Run after him till he falls down. That's what the Bible says, right? We just read about 30, 40 scriptures. I'll read a few more. Proverbs 24:17. Rejoice not when your enemy falls. Oh, man, I just thought you were supposed to rejoice. Now it says don't rejoice when your enemy falls. Ah, this is getting to the Christian part, I think. Now, I was having so much fun conquering my enemy. Now all of a sudden I have to love my enemy. I think God's going to switch here. But, hey, here's another one here. Micah 7:6. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. Whoa. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. Sometimes your enemy is not out there. It's people right in your own family. It's people right in your own church. People right in your own backyard. Isn't that amazing? The Bible is so accurate. But here's another one that says this. Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies. Bless your enemies. Wow. That's a little different take on it. I was having fun taking their gate, stepping on their neck, ruling in the midst. Now I hear that Jesus switching the whole thing. It's a bait and switch. He's switching it. No, but here, watch this. Matthew 5:44 says, love your enemies and bless them. But Matthew 13:39 says, your enemy is the devil. So, you're not to love the devil. You're not to love those that hate God. What it's saying is, bless your human enemies. In other words, bless them. Why? Because they need to be, you know, it's not good for my enemies to rule because then they lose and I lose too. It's better if good people rule because then we all win. If they rule, nobody wins. They don't even win. The parasite can only eat the host so long, and then the parasite dies because the host dies. Do you hear what I'm saying? So there's a lot of people out there for their own good, but after a while, we run out. I mean, they're bankrupting everything, so we're not even going to have anything left. So I'm not so mad at them because they're corrupt. I'm just mad at them because I don't want them to rule because they don't even know how to keep themselves alive. They're so stupid, they can't even keep themselves alive, let alone me. They eat me up, and they're going to ruin themselves. Don't you realize if you destroy the church, you've destroyed yourself? If the government begins to tax the church because, and that's what it's doing, by the way, but if the government begins to tax the church, it'll destroy itself. You can't tax God's property. He don't like it. It's like holding the hand of his girl. Hey, what are you doing? Get your hand off of her. Say, that's my girl. That's my bride. That's my wife right there. Get your hand off. Get away. Well, I'm just touching. Get away. I'm just going to be nearer. No. Move away. You remember Esther? Remember when Haman came and leaned down, laid upon her, and the king came in and saw it? Man, he was wroth. Had that guy killed. You don't touch God's girl. You don't even get near her. You don't even approach her. Get away. But today, everybody's arrogant. They're like Haman, they're crazy. Just think, you know, we're going to trample on her. Okay, fine. You know, the church isn't going to lose. It's the government's going to lose. It's the world's going to lose, not the church. Persecution helps the church. It will be bigger than ever. Go ahead, persecute. We'll be bigger than ever. It doesn't hurt us. It hurts the guy that's doing it. Woe unto you. So God is going to have his way. He's not going to let his girl just fall down to the ground. Here's another one. Luke 10:19, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. I give you power over all the power. I give you power over all the power. I give you power over all the power. Now, you say, well, that's spiritual. Yes, but all is bigger than just spiritual. I give you power over all the power. All the power means all the power. How many know that Satan not only has spiritual power, but he also has material power, mental power, emotional power. He has all kinds of power. I give you power over all the power of the enemy. So that means we're to set people free in every way. Bring them out of this world into another kingdom, into another vision, another light. Not in the world to come, but now. Start heaven now. This church is a little piece of heaven. And you know, we have bad people here. You know, we have bad people. So, I mean, that's not a big deal. It's not whether you're bad or not. It's whether you repent or not. That's all. We don't care if you're bad. We expect you to be bad. A lot of you have done a good job being bad. It's all right. It's not bad that matters. It's whether you have faith in God. The thing that makes you a Christian is not that you're bad or good. The thing that makes you a Christian is whether you have faith. Whether you repent. Repent, believe, obey. You know, that's all the work of God. We don't care that you're bad. We only take bad people. You know, I don't believe we've ever let anybody good in this church. I don't think so. I think we only take bad people. But God works with bad people. I came not for the righteous, I came for the sinner. He works with bad people and rules in the midst. So the only question is not how bad we are, but who rules. If he's ruling in our midst, it's heaven. just because he's ruling. I'm definitely bad, but when Jesus starts ruling in me, he gets good out of me. I don't know how he does it, but he can just get good out of a bad person. Isn't that amazing? I'm by nature, I'm a bad person, but God somehow can get in there and kill me off or something to make me behave myself. And he'll get glory out of me. And I mean, anybody sees it, they know, well, there must be a God. That's certainly not the Jim Borchardt I know. There has to be a God. And I'm amazed myself. Wow, how'd that happen? I'm always amazed. I'm always amazed. God, how'd you get that good out of me? Peg's tried for years. She just couldn't do it. She can't get any good out of me. Is there any good in there? You know, she couldn't find any. Peg, have you ever found any good in me? She just can't find it. She's searched. I'll tell you, if anybody's been diligent to find it, it's been Peg. There's some good in here. She just could never find it. Yahoo! I haven't found any good in her either. She's no good. Peg is no good. People don't like me to say that. I don't know why. She's no good. She's rotten to the core. Doesn't bother me. That's all we got. Yeah, that's all we got. If you look around people, that's all we got is rotten people. It's only Jesus that's good. Remember, he said it one time, none is good but God. So why are we trying to make people good? Jesus could have said, I'm good. No, he didn't say that. You know what he said? The Father who dwelleth in me doeth the works. What? But you are good, Jesus. He said, call none good but God. Well, yeah, but you're good. You did some good works. No, the Father who dwelleth in me doeth the works. I don't do anything. Did you think I did that? I didn't do that. That was the Father. I just yield to him. I just let him do his work through me. That's all. I'm dead. The only good thing about me is dead. The only thing about Jesus that was good was dead. That's why he said, take up your cross and follow me. Just be dead. In other words, it isn't that I'm bad now, I've suddenly turned good. It's just that I'm dead. That was all he ever wanted, was dead. Do y'all understand that? That's all he wants is don't pretend like, oh, I think I'm getting better. No, you're not. You just think you're getting deader. You just die quicker. You don't improve. You just die quicker so that he can live through you. That's all. Isn't that easy? There's nothing to it. All you got to do is die. That is, will his will, say his words, do his deeds, feel his feelings, you know, whatever. Just be his. That's all. Because otherwise evil will come out. You are capable of every good. How? Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's all Christ. It's all Christ. It's all Christ. And so he's ruling in our midst, and therefore good's coming. He's ruling in our midst, so good is coming. There's a family over in Dallas. I won't tell stories. Stories are great, though. They tell about real people who just don't believe it's possible, and then a miracle happens, and they go, wow, it's miraculous. So God is doing good things, and I don't like to always tell about all those things. It's kind of like, you know, it could be encouraging, but it also could be, you just need to just believe in yourself. Just start with yourself. You know, if we tell 10 stories, you know, that will do it. You know, I don't think so. That's in the Bible. There's plenty of good words and stories in the Bible. You know, so you don't need 100 stories. I don't know that it'll do any good. It's because you hear, haven't you heard enough good? I mean, it's in the Bible. You see, our victory is not in experience, it's in the Word. Faith is the victory. Faith in the Word, that's the victory. Not experiences and so on and so forth. Because you'll get into some new illusion. That's why they have all these seminars. You go off for a weekend and they call them all kinds of things. You know, marriage renewal or, you know, whatever they are, so on and so forth. Oh, we really love each other now and so on. Yeah, you know, she just postponed divorce for another month. It's silly stuff. I don't believe in all that. I believe the Bible has all the answers for everything. And I don't believe having a good mate is what makes you happy. I don't want a good mate. I want Peggy. I don't want a good mate. I'm not looking for one. I'm not going to be happy because, you know, Peggy becomes better or something. I don't want her to be. I just be whatever she wants to be. I don't want you to be better. Just be what you are. Do you understand? That's where happiness comes. Having a good mate does not make you happy. Having Jesus makes you happy. Did you hear me? In fact, having a bad mate can help you to get close to Jesus. So having a good mate is neither good nor bad. The only thing good about a good mate would be to drive you to Jesus. You don't need a happy marriage to be happy. You need a happy God. You just need God. That's all. Does that make sense? A couple more verses, we're done. Romans 5:10. If while we were enemies, he loved us. If while we were enemies, he loved us. That's interesting, isn't it? God loved us while we were not, well, we were sinners. We weren't even, we were enemies of God. But that's when he loved us. That is when to love each other. Love means nothing, nothing, nothing until someone is your enemy. A marriage can start out, oh, we love each other, we love each other. But as soon as a big argument comes up, then it begins to wane a little bit, and then two arguments in a row, and pretty soon, then they don't love each other anymore. That's silly. No, love only means something when you are with an enemy, when someone is opposing you, not cooperating. That's when to be happy, in the midst of your enemies. Don't let your enemies go away. Oh, God, if only all my enemies would go away. No, they're going to stay. I can tell God is not moving them. I can just tell. That's why he said love them. I thought he was going to say kill them off. You know, that's the Muslim. The Muslim way is kill off your enemies. The world would be better if we could just kill off all our enemies. Stupid idea. But I can see it. Looking at the Old Testament, that's where they got that idea. But it's false. It's a misunderstanding. The New Testament gave the true understanding. Is the way to make your enemy disappear, make him a friend. Did you hear what? That's powerful. Don't get rid of your enemy by killing him. Jesus didn't come to bring a sword. Get rid of your enemy by converting him. Loving him, forgiving him, preaching to him, letting him kill you. Don't convert your enemy by you killing him. Convert or die. No, you let him kill you. Does that make sense? Does everybody see it? I mean, I always say oddball stuff. To me, it's not oddball. It's just taking literally what the Bible says. And just following what the Bible says. I know it says this and that and so on and so forth. Somebody can misunderstand me. I preach in such a way that it'd be easy to say, well, I don't agree with that statement. Yeah, well, of course you don't agree with that statement. It's just a statement. But keep reading. There are other scriptures, too, that balance that off. Well, I don't agree with what he just said. He said your wife is an enemy or whatever. You know, anybody can pick up anything and so on and so forth. You want to misinterpret everything. But the truth is, there are scriptures that say, love your enemies and do good to them that hate you, abuse you. That sounds like a husband. That sounds like a wife. That sounds like human relationships. Hello? So now we can see that the enemy really is not bothering us. We don't have to conquer all these enemies. I don't have to change the government. I don't have to get rid of the IRS. You know what? I can be happy right now because of Jesus. All I need is Jesus. I just wasted a whole bunch of time there talking about all my enemies. Now I get down to the New Testament here. Romans 11:28. The Jews are enemies. Now there's a good scripture right there. Romans, let's read that again. Romans 11:28. The Jews are enemies. Ah, now there's a little proviso there. In relationship to the gospel. In other words, for your sake, they're enemies because of the gospel. But they're beloved of God because of election. Isn't that funny? I was just going to read that one part. The Jews are enemies. That was the traditional Catholic view. Ah, oh, those Jews, you have to convert them all because they're enemies. Enemies of the cross. Enemies of our faith. Well, yeah, that's true. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies. In other words, for the gospel to mean something, they're enemies. But when the blindness goes, they're actually beloved of God for the sake of election. So there's two different issues here. One, the gospel to the Gentiles. Two, the election of the Jew. So in the end, the Jew will be restored fully. So you can't hate them. They're enemies of God, yes. Of the gospel, yes. Of Christians, yes. But only for the sake of the gospel. But in the end, you have to love them too. You have to love them because the love of God is in you. And the Lord rules in the midst of his enemies. You know, actually, we're God's enemies. It isn't the bad guys, it's actually the good guys. God is actually an enemy to us, and we're an enemy to him until we submit to him and let him kill us so that we come alive. Isn't that beautiful? Now all of a sudden everything's beginning to make sense. That other one sounded like make sense to me, and then I realized there was going to be a lot of work. And I also noticed God wasn't helping out. I noticed that. God, if you want to get my enemies, you get going. I mean, what's holding you? So obviously, he had a little different take on it, a little more subtle, a little subtle. All right, only two more left. Three, sorry. Romans 12, 20. If thine enemy be hungry, what? Feed him. That's a little different. I thought I'd say, if your enemy is hungry, keep food from him so he dies. That's my take on that. Yeah, good, he's hungry. Now I'll starve him out. He'll be sorry he was my enemy. I'll withhold his food. If your enemy be hungry, feed him. It's my enemy. If he lives, he'll hurt me. Feed him. Why? Because he might become your friend. How do you know? Amen? That's interesting. Now, another one. Hebrews 10, 13. Jesus is up in heaven right now, expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. So Jesus right now is in heaven, and he could come anytime, but he's not going to. Not until his enemies become his footstool. You know what the enemies are? It's not people. You know what the enemies are? Death. The devil. Now, it's true. There are people that hate him, but they can convert. Angels cannot. Too late. They made their choice. It's too late. Last scripture, James 4:4. If anyone be a friend of this world, he is the enemy of God. If anyone be a friend of this world, he is the enemy of God. See, don't keep your personality. Don't protect yourself, preserve yourself in this world. Don't get along with this world. Just please God. Just get with God. Get all your happiness, all your joy from God. Don't get any of your joy from money or health or wealth or friends or, you know, religion or anything. Don't get any of that. Get it all from Jesus. You want to be a friend of God? You have to hate the world. You love the world? You're an enemy with God. God hates anyone that loves this world. Why? This world's going to pass away. It's perishing. This world is not going to endure. So don't even bother defeating them. They're going to defeat themselves. Don't even worry about it. We just need to be a light in the world. Now, so I'm going to give up the world. Leave the world alone. Let's just work on ourselves. Right here. Let's just work on ourselves. Let's do something doable. Changing the whole world, oh, it's too big. I mean, that was too overwhelming. It's too overwhelming. Besides, it won't work. You can never stop all the bad guys. The better way to do it is convert them. The better way is get yourself converted first. That would help. If you were happy, if you were peaceful, if you could rule in the midst of your enemies, that's all. So Jesus Christ is ruling now. That's why he came to earth, to rule in the midst of his enemies. We were his first enemies. They started ruling in our midst, and now all of a sudden I'm not an enemy, I'm a friend. I love him. I fell in love with Jesus. Did you fall in love with Jesus? I fell in love with Jesus. I found people were not that neat. I don't know if anybody else here, is anybody else here as cynical as I am about people? I mean, people are just, they're just so unreliable. They're so fickle. Anybody knows that about people? They're fickle. One minute they like you, the next minute they're critical of you, and they're fickle. They're changeable. Has anybody found that out? One minute they say they'll be true to forever and life and so on. The next minute they're griping and complaining and so on. It's just too hard to keep up with that. It just wears me out. One minute I'm faithful and true blue, and the next minute I'm feckless, whatever that is, feckless, somethingless. I don't have it, you know, whatever it is. You see, God loves you, and he knows what's good for you. And what's good for you is he comes and he rules right in the midst of you, just the way you are. And then slowly, when you see how he rules, you begin to realize, you know, I need to be more like him. That's how he did me. He just ruled. I didn't like him at all. I didn't like having him as a neighbor at all. What are you doing here? Get out. I can hardly sin with you around. Jesus will bog you down when you're trying to sin. Jesus, I'm trying to sin here. If you just could look, or at least look the other way. But he's looking right at you. He's bothering you. Has anybody ever done that? Now, how can I watch this shallow TV program with you sitting here? Could you please go outside, go to church, or do something? I want to watch this shallow TV program. And it's just real hard when Jesus is sitting right there with you. I don't even let him in my car. I know he would not at all enjoy the way I drive. Although driving with Nick, I have a feeling that Jesus would rather drive with me. Oh, I love it, Nick. Actually, I enjoy that kind of driving. I do. I love it. Get where you're going to go. It's like that. But I don't think Jesus likes that. He likes you to be blessing people along the road, not passing them. I want to pass them. I don't want to bless them. I'll probably go to hell for that. I don't know. But I pray that Jesus will eventually change me. Either that or I'll get so old I won't be able to see or something. It's not over. It's not over until the fat lady sings. She hasn't sung yet. She doesn't either. That's when it's over, when she sings. No. But it's not over, in other words, until it's over. So it's not the last word. It's just it's a warning. It's just to, like, you know, pay attention. Start to restructure your life. Can't go on forever and ever. But, you see, only God knows. But the main thing that you're saying is, I'm going to be happy. I'm not going to be scared or angry or whatever everybody else does and make a lot of silly decisions based on fear and anger. I'm going to stay rejoicing and so on. And it's not easy. It's not easy. When we say the Word of God, it's not because it's easy. We say the Word of God because it's not easy. That's why the Word of God has come to break down that which is hard, to say, look at it differently. Don't look at it the way you're looking at it. The natural man doesn't look at anything right. So you got to be wisdom. That's where wisdom comes from. So now you know you have enemies. Rejoice. Love them. Bless them. They aren't going to hurt you. God's in charge. Hey, if God's on the throne, and he is, if God's on the throne, and he is, you have nothing to worry about. All things are working together for the good of them that love the Lord. So everything in your life is working, and if you knew that, you wouldn't be afraid, you wouldn't gripe, you wouldn't complain, you wouldn't get angry, you wouldn't be sleepless, you wouldn't be worried. You'd just relax and praise God. That's the point of the message today. Let's just encourage you. Hey, everything's going your way. The best is yet to come. No, something good. Something good is just right around the corner. If you believe that, happy are you. Because we have a good God. He's good. All those enemies down here are not powerful. Remember it said, I'll give you power over all the power of the enemy. I'll give you the gates of your enemies. The Lord will be he'll be an enemy to your enemies. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will put your foot on the neck of your enemies. The Lord will deliver you from the hand of the enemy. The Lord will not turn you over. Remember all those scriptures we just read? They're powerful. I'm going to memorize one or two of those. In other words, when the enemy does a bad move and it looks like, oh, no, now it's really going to be bad, something good then happens that nobody anticipated. So whenever the enemy makes a move, God makes another move. Just like in chess, you know, you just keep moving till you win. Actually, you want people to oppose you in your own household because that means they heard. What you don't want is you to say something and then they don't pay attention. What you want is for people to say, well, I don't believe that. Well, and then they attack. That actually means they heard what you said. So let the word then do the battling. Remember God said, I'll be your shield? You don't have to defend the word. The word defends you. Once you sowed that seed, that word, and they see there's a difference between your word and their word, that's actually what you want. Because now that word goes to work. I never try to fight my words or prove my words or whatever. I let myself be vulnerable. I let people attack and so on. Just say it and then drop it. And you know what? God will work it on them. And they'll eventually hear what was said. Years later, months later, days later, who cares when? It's up to God. So you want really people to oppose you. Jesus wanted people to oppose him. He deliberately worked at it, meaning he deliberately said things that he knew would make them angry. Because then he knew, they understood me that time. They understood him. They wanted to kill him. That's like, yep, you understood. See? That's actually what you want. You want people to hate you. Why? Because it was in them anyway. They didn't hate you for the first time. They've been hating all along. They just brought it out. You just gave them an occasion to bring it out. I'm easy to hate. Somebody said, you know, I hate you. It's like, it's not hard to hate me. I agree with you. What's your point? Well, you're no good. Yeah, that's what I've always thought. Tell me how much you know to conclude that. I know a lot more than you know. And you're only half right. You don't even know the full extent. You hate me for that little bit? Well, I know a lot more. You know, it's nothing. You hate me for almost no reason at all. Anyway, God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. Once we were enemies, now we've been brought near. We're friends of God. God is not my enemy. He's my friend. God's my beloved. He loves me. I'm so glad that he forgives enemies. Love your enemies. That's what God did. Do good to them that abuse you, hate you. I've done that. And God did good to me. That's what broke me. What broke me was not that he put his finger at me. Oh, you're abusing me. I'm really ticked off at you. What broke me was he loved me back. That was not expected. I didn't deserve that. I deserved to be whipped, beaten, punished. But he didn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He just said, oh, Jim, you're so cute. I love you so much. I know I'm not. But he said I was. So he convinced me after a while. Well, if God thinks I'm cute, I'm cute. If God thinks I'm good looking, I'm good looking. If he likes to be around me, then I guess, you know, people are wrong. You know, a lot of people, they don't see how neat I am. God does. Do y'all see that? I mean, if God's on you, if God before you, who can be against you? Somebody said, well, I've never liked you. Well, I consider you an intelligent person. But you know what? You're wrong, because God likes me. And he knows more about me than you do. And he still likes me. In fact, he wants to marry me. I love it. I don't know, that gets to me. That really blesses me. See, it doesn't bless me that I was good and that's why he liked me. What blesses me is he knows I was no good. And he loved me when I was no good. That's giving me a new idea about people. Let's love our enemies. Let's love people that abuse us. Let's, you know, that's the Sermon on the Mount, isn't it? Do good to them that hate you, that abuse you. Do good to them. Isn't that amazing? Well, what that seems like stupid. I can't imagine anyone giving that philosophy. No wonder they killed him. He was crazy. But Jesus actually was right. And he was doing what he was teaching. He was doing good to them that hated him. I love it. Let's try it. You want to try it? How many are ready to try that? All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this teaching today about enemies. And we're thankful, Lord God, that once we were enemies, but now we're friends. And once we had enemies that we worried about, but now there's no point in losing sleep, getting angry, becoming afraid. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. And Lord, we love even our enemies. We bless them. We want to do good to them, even if they abuse us. Let it be. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Every weapon fashioned against us shall not prevail. But thank you, Lord God, that we are so blessed. We have a God that rules over all, and no enemy is able to take us. Even if you hand us over for a few minutes. You'll gather us up again. But we just thank you, Lord God, that our enemies will disappear. They will not last forever. We will possess their gates. We will step on their necks. They will run and fall. We will inherit all things. All things are given to the meek. Now, I thank you, Lord God, that we are meek because we've accepted your rule. You rule in the midst of our enemies. And so do we. Amen and amen.